fast-paced society that is continuously searching for truth, the Bible has the answers that will bring true joy and lasting satisfaction. We invite you to join us for Truth for Today with Dr. Neil Jackson. Dr. Jackson's verse-by-verse preaching will answer your deepest questions from God's holy word.
How committed are you to Scripture? How committed are you to dialoguing about Jesus every day of your life?
So open your Bible and your heart to hear Truth for Today.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Truth for Today. I love the Gospel of John because it's all about Jesus. And today we see Jesus' heart for the world, how he is the good shepherd who seeks and saves those which are lost. So if today's sermon is a blessing to you, you can receive it with your generous donation. If you'd like to receive the entire series, request it, the Gospel of John, Volume 6, with your donation of $50 or more. The Gospel of John records 7 miracles. They're all signs. They're all testimonies. They're all affirmations that Jesus is God. John chapter 2, turned water to wine. Just testifying that he was God. John chapter 4, he healed that nobleman's son. John chapter 5, the paralyzed guy had been paralyzed for 38 years. Till he met Jesus, and the paralysis had to cease and desist. John chapter 6, there was 5,000 men, their wives and their kids. They were hungry. And then they met Jesus, and they were filled to the overflow. John chapter 6, he walked on water. John chapter 11, we're going to see. Jesus said, "Lazarus, get up!" And Lazarus is going to get up. But today we're in John chapter 9. A blind man who was blind from birth meets Jesus. He was totally changed. So if you're here saying, "Oh, my life is awful and it's never going to change." Oh, no, it will. If you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about. A threefold testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, a sermon I'm entitling, "The Day Jesus Played in the Mud." Number one, this man's condition. Notice verse 1, he was blind. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Every day, people just pass this man by, paying him no attention whatsoever. Never looking at him, never noticing him, but Jesus was not too busy to notice the blind people in need of help. If he was not too busy to notice the blind guy in need of help in that day, hallelujah, he's not too busy to notice the needy people in our day. Hallelujah. Be encouraged today. Jesus is not too busy to notice you and what you're going through. It says he was blind from his birth. Never saw a sunrise come up over that Sea of Galilee. Never saw a sunset over Mount Carmel. Never saw a rosebud. Never saw a daffodil. Never saw the robin sing. Never saw the face of his mother, blind from his birth. Look at verse 2. And the disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? He was born blind." Disciples assumed that a physical handicap sign of God's displeasure. So is this a personal sin? You know, Esau and Jacob, they were fighting in the womb. So was this a personal sin that he did in his womb? Or was this a parental sin? They believe that disease or sickness in this life, because of something you did or your parents did. Look what Jesus says, verse 3. Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So Jesus just blows their theory to pieces. The man's blindness was not because any man sinned, and any birth defect is never, listen, it's never a result of any sin. It's a result so that God can be glorified. Period. Always. Greatest opportunity you will ever have is to bring God glory through trials and difficulty. When everything's great and everything's wonderful, you say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And everybody says, yeah, anybody can praise God when everything's wonderful. But in trials and difficulty and heartache, you say, I just want to praise Jesus. Everybody says, whoa, that Jesus is real if he's praising Jesus going through that. Look, look, look. Look what Jesus says next verse. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus reminds his disciples, guys, stop yakking. Time is short. Get to work. Stop debating about these useless theological subjects and let's get busy bringing people to me to salvation. And I'm here to say there's a lot of useless theological debating going on. We need to get busy just bringing people to salvation. Amen? Amen. Number 3. He was blind. He was burdened. Look at verse 8. He was a beggar. Is not this he that sat and begged? They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have welfare. They didn't have any kind of pension plan. No mercy plan. This guy, his only hope. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. But see, who was this guy? Just some guy. We don't know his name. He was blind. This man has sinned. This man is just a beggar. Who is this guy? Neil Jackson. Who is this guy? It's you. He represents all of us. Because all of us are in this same condition. We are hopeless. We are helpless. We need a Savior. We need the help of Jesus. That's who this guy was. This man's condition. Number 2, notice this man's cure. Look at verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, anointed the eyes of the blind man. Clay, I love Jesus. Spitting on the ground, making clay, placing it in the man's eyes. Why did Jesus do it this way? I don't know. Go ask Matthew Henry. I have no idea. Leon Morris says, Jesus did it this way to prove he could do it anyway. I don't know why he did it this way. But when you come to Jesus, he doesn't have a stereotype the way he's going to bring help for your problems. You are unique, and Jesus is going to find a solution for you uniquely that's different for you and your circumstance. And that's what Jesus does here. Now, here's what I know. No person ever was healed of blindness in the Old Testament. Here's what I know. No one but Jesus ever healed anybody in the New Testament of blindness. What anybody that was looking for a Messiah? They should have just camped out and said, hey, the first person who heals somebody of blindness, I'm going to get my hanky out and say, woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. There goes the Messiah for you. Realize Psalm 146 verse 8 says, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Isaiah 35 verse 5 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. No, look what verse 7 says. Make clay of the spittle, anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Verse 7, said unto him, go wash the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way thereof and washed. Notice the last three words. And came seeing. Pardon me? It doesn't record everything there. Came seeing and shouting. You say it wasn't there? He was shouting. I can see, I can see, I can see. Hasn't seen anything since his birth. He came seeing and he came shouting, jumping up and down. If he had a hanky, he was waving it. Hey, I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see. If he could sing, he was singing and shouting. And he probably wasn't a Baptist. He was dancing and cutting the jig. He could see, he could see, he could see. Well, how does everybody respond? Look at verse 8. Three discussions that took place. Neighbors start talking. Rather than celebrating, they're questioning his identity. Can't figure it out. Is this the blind man? Or is this somebody just looks like him? Man gives his testimony and they take him to the Pharisees. Look down on verse 13 through 17, look at verse 16. Pharisees are concerned about the rules that he's broke. Verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not a God because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Notice last phrase. There was division among them. Jesus brings unity to the saints. But Jesus causes division among unbelievers. They can't figure Jesus out. They don't like that Jesus. They don't like what he does. He messes up their plans. Notice how the parents respond. Verses 18 through 23. Pharisees drag the blind man's family into the situation. This your boy? Yeah. Was he born blind? Yeah. How can he see? Cat gets her tongue. We don't know. He's over 21. You ask him. Why don't they answer the question? If they stand up for Jesus, they get thrown out of the synagogue. And culturally, that was an anathema in this culture. So they just go silent. Man's cure. Priority number one for these parents, what the community thought about them. You come to Jesus today, I wish to say everybody in your life is going to have a hanky and celebrate you, cut a jig for you and say, you can see, you can see. Let's go get some Little Debbies and Circus Peanuts and let's have a party. Not everybody's going to celebrate. Some people say you lost your mind. Some people say, why are you leaving us? We're not going to have no more fun. Not everybody's going to celebrate. Number three, notice this man's conversion. See, Jesus didn't come to open blind eyes. Jesus came to save men's souls. So don't miss it. You say, hey, I got a financial need. Jesus will help your financial need. Say, I got a health issue. Jesus will help your health issue. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to save people from their sins. Now, I want you to notice the faith journey that this guy goes on. Look at verse 10, and I just want to walk you through the rest of this passage, and I'm done. His neighbors ask, "What happened to you, boy?" Look at verse 10. "Therefore said they unto him, how were your eyes opened? He answered, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed and I received sight." He sees Jesus as a good man. A lot of people do. "I don't believe Jesus was God. I believe he was a good man." Seeing Jesus as a good man will never get you to heaven. But it's a start. I believe he's a good man. Take him to the Pharisees. Look down at verse 17. Pharisees say, "What happened to you, boy?" Verse 17. They say unto him, blind man again, "What sayest thou of him that he hath opened up thine eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." Now, he just went from being a good man to a prophet. See, here's the way it works. When you respond to the light that you are given, God will show you more light. People say, "Well, what about the people in darkest Africa? How are they going to hear about Jesus?" They're going to respond to the light that they've been given. Heavens declare the glory of God. When they respond to the light that they've been given, God will give them more light. That's what's happening right here. He's a good man. And then God gives him more light. He says, "Hey, he's a prophet." No higher compliment in this day. Call somebody a prophet. Prophet's a spokesman for God. Prophet proclaims the message of God. Prophet demonstrates the power of God. Understand this. You do not go to heaven by saying, "I believe Jesus was a teacher come from God." So he's still not on his way to heaven. Pharisees not satisfied. "We know Moses is of God. We don't know this man." Look down at verse 30. Man answered and said unto them, "Why, here it is, a marvelous thing. This is wonderful. I couldn't see, pardon my grammar, nothing all my life. And now I can see. It's a marvelous thing that ye know not whence he is, yet he has opened mine eyes." He gives his testimony. People can push you and say, "I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe all that Christianity stuff." You know how you respond? Say, "Let me tell you what he's done for me. I was lost. I was a drunkard. I was a jerk. And I met Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus changed me." They can't argue with your testimony. That's what this guy does. He continues, look at verse 31. "Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind?" So now this guy is lecturing these Pharisees. He says, has any man ever opened the eyes of one that was blind since the world began? Verse 33, "If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." Now, understand the progress. He's a good man. He's a prophet. Now he's saying he is a God man. You see, he's growing in his faith. You can know, "Hey, I believe Jesus was a good man. I believe Jesus was a great teacher come from God." You can say, "I believe Jesus was God himself." But understanding Jesus was God himself will still not take you to heaven. Look at verse 34. "They answered, said unto him, thou wast," Pharisees talking, "thou wast altogether born in sins. You're trying to teach us." They could have learned this lesson. They cast him out. They kicked him out of the synagogue. They excommunicated him from not the building, from the church. Means he can no longer have a job, more than likely. More than likely, his family would disown him. Never again was he allowed to enter the synagogue. More than likely, this guy was single. So when it came to get married, he couldn't be done in the synagogue. When it came to time to be buried, he couldn't have a service in the synagogue. Couldn't buy and sell in many cases. Couldn't be employed. Believing that Jesus is the God-man, not enough to get you to heaven. Look at verse 35. I love this. I already told you. When you respond to the light that you've been given, God will give you more light. I believe he's a good man. I believe he's a prophet. He's a God. Notice Jesus just keeps giving him more light. Look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out when he found him. You see that? That should make a Baptist scream hallelujah and run around this auditorium with everything he's got. Jesus comes searching for you. When you respond to the light that you have, and you say, I'm hungry, I want it. You don't go searching for God. He goes searching for you. Jesus found glory, hallelujah. He found him. He said unto him, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Spoken to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Verse 36. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. That's when you get saved. You can believe, I believe Jesus was a good man. You're lost, you're not going to heaven. I believe Jesus was a great teacher. You're lost and you're not going to heaven. Well, I believe that Jesus was God. You're lost, you're not going to heaven. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy to go up there. But Jesus, you died on an old rugged cross as my substitute in my place. You were buried and you rose again. Jesus, I believe you are God. And you are my Savior, and I believe in you, and I accept you as my Savior. Glory, I confess it with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. I accept you as my Savior. That's what he did. Lord, I believe right there. He was changed from a child of darkness to a child of light. You say, preacher, how can I go to heaven? Right there. Believe on Jesus. Not just a good man, not just a good teacher, not just God. Believe on him as your Savior and your Lord. How do you know if I got it? Next four words. And he worshiped him. He became a worshiper. Get mad at me if you want to. I just don't understand how you can go from being a blind beggar all your life, and Jesus gives you sight, and Jesus gives you wholeness, and Jesus sets you on the path to eternity, and you're going to be a grouch.
I ain't got nothing to sing about.
You're going to keep your arms folded and just scowl. I wonder, have you really been born again? Just a question. Notice the four different groups in this story. Neighbors saw something different. They didn't change. Parents, they saw something different. They were too afraid to change. Pharisees, they convinced themselves there wasn't anything different because they refused to change. This blind man, he experienced the difference. And he said, I accept the change. What group are you falling into today? He was 22 years old, working for the New York Life Insurance Company. And life insurance sales just weren't going that great. He just got an offer from a big radio company. They were going to put him on the radio, and he was going to be famous. No more of those sales. No more of those life insurance sales. But he had to make a decision this next week. It was Sunday morning. Mama, believer, had left out on the piano lyrics to a song. He came down, and he looked at the lyrics to the song. You know them. Rather have Jesus, silver or gold. Rather have Jesus in riches untold. Rather have Jesus in houses or land. Rather be led by his nail-pierced hands. You know second verse. Rather have Jesus than men's applause. Rather be faithful to his dear cause. Rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. Rather be true to his holy name than to be a king of a vast domain. Be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. This world affords today. He said, Mama, I get the point. He sang that song in church that day. He turned down the big offer on Monday morning. Didn't even wait. Turned it down. Who was him? Oh, everybody in this audience knows him. George Beverly Shea traveled the world with Billy Graham as his music guy because he made the choice. I want Jesus. And that's what you have to decide. You want Jesus? If not, what compares with Jesus? What are you turning down Jesus for? Really? You want that over Jesus? That's a choice. Jesus or what?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Truth for Today. Our prayer is that God's Word has ministered to your deepest need and answered many of your questions about life. Truth for Today is only able to broadcast on this station through the regular prayers and financial support of God's people. Would you consider becoming a monthly partner of Truth for Today? You may mail your gifts to Truth for Today, Post Office Box 104, Bennett, North Carolina, 27208. If you would like to receive a copy of today's message, please request this sermon with your donation of any amount. If you would like to donate by credit card, you may call 336-581-3170. Be assured that God's Word has the answer for your every need. And join us next time for Truth for Today.